The mistake I made was in the words I said, not in the heart I hold.
The views expressed were offensive. Rape is rape.
They have a plan in case there is a hurricane. But right now, we're hoping that it continues to dissipate.
I know what I know. And I know what I do, and I know what I did. That's not going to change.
Some of the voices from the news this week. That last one there, Lance Armstrong, who just last night said he is no longer fighting allegations that he cheated as a cyclist from 1998 on. He has been stripped of all of his 7 Tour de France titles. That's one of the stories that we're going to get to with Follow Friday on The Takeaway. That's our weekly roundup of the week's big top stories. We're joined, as usual, by Farai Chaday, a distinguished writer in residence at New York University's Journalism Institute, sitting across from me. Hi, Farai.
Hi, how's it going, Todd?
Very great. Thank you for being here. Also joining us on the line, David Plotz, editor of Slate. He joins us from his home in Washington. Hi, David.
Hello.
Now, Slate and Takeaway co-producer WNYC have teamed up to launch Gabfest Radio, a new radio show based on Slate's Gabfest podcast. David, you are one of the co-hosts of that.
That's right. We launch on Saturday morning.
Great. And it's good to have you here. You can learn more at wnyc.org/Gabfest with David Plotz. Farai, let me start with you on Lance Armstrong. This story just broke last night. Lance Armstrong saying, I'm done fighting the U.S. anti-doping agency. They just don't get it. This is a witch hunt. What that means is he is no longer a champion, stripped of all of his titles, all of his money, his Olympic medals.
And his honor.
In your view.
And most importantly, I mean, I think in the view of the world, he's lost his honor. And that has to hurt as much as any medal or accolade. It is heartbreaking to me. And I'm trying to figure out why I'm so sad for someone who essentially has been proven to be doping. I mean, to fold your cards at this point. I mean, no sane person, if they really thought they had a case to defend themselves, would fold their cards at this point, which is what he's done. And the council has taken this as an admission of guilt, which I think is very much true. There were many different signs that the doping allegations were true. One of them was someone in the foundation world explaining to me that the transition from the Lance Armstrong Foundation to the Livestrong Foundation, which does a lot of great work in cancer, was done.
And also does not bear his name, I'm noticing.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Was done to rebrand that foundation and distance themselves from his doping allegations. And so if you're going to go that far, to go from a name brand to something that you have to basically rebrand and build, that was one of many signs. But I don't know why. I'm heartbroken. But just finally, on the cover of the front page of the New York Times today, there's something about doping in baseball continuing. And as long as there's an incentive to enhance your performance and to get huge bonuses and payoffs and glory, people will do it in every sport.
Yeah. And especially in cycling, it said, which was so rife with cheating that it was impossible to win an endurance race like the Tour de France without cheating. Well, David Plotz, what about you? Farai Chaday says that he has lost his honor. What about all the honor that Lance Armstrong accumulated with the Livestrong, what was, the Livestrong Foundation, the Lance Armstrong Foundation? He pointed out in his statement, I've raised $500 million for cancer. So what about his legacy in your view?
Well, we shouldn't gainsay that part of it. That's a very nice thing that he did, and he brought a lot of attention to a really worthy cause, and I think the foundation did good work. I'm inclined to go easy on cyclists generally, because I think the Tour de France is such an impossible event that there was a period where it was just, you cheated. I mean, I think we know this by the fact that practically every person who has won that event in the past 15 years or so has been disqualified.
I'm sorry. 15 wrongs make a right? Is that what you're...
I'm not saying 15 wrongs make a right. I'm saying that it was a culture where you cheated. Everyone knew you cheated. Everyone cheated. They all did it. And Armstrong's crime is much more that he was so reluctant or so unwilling to admit, in the way that the other folks were willing to admit, that he cheated, and to continue to insist on his honor throughout that period was a bit much. And that's why it's so, I guess it's morally satisfying to see him humbled like this.
Lance Armstrong is quitting in his fight against the U.S. anti-doping agency, guys. Here is somebody who says he's not quitting.
The good people of Missouri nominated me, and I'm not a quitter. And my belief is we're going to take this thing forward. And by the grace of God, we're going to win this race.
Farai Chaday, we know that Todd Akin, congressman from Missouri, is staying in his Senate race against Claire McCaskill. We know that. Going forward, how do you think this affects the Republican Party at large? They tried hard to get him out. They tried hard to marginalize
him. They begged.
Well, okay, and he's not out. Does it work? Is this just on Todd Akin's head now, or do you think it goes more broadly to the Republican brand?
It goes much more broadly to the Republican brand because of the platform, which forbids, basically the idea of funding for abortion in cases of rape and incest.
Well, so, let's be clear. It supports a constitutional amendment banning
yes.
abortion and doesn't mention exceptions for rape and incest. It doesn't
yeah.
specifically include them.
Yeah, yes. I think in the Republican platform, by not saying that rape and incest are special cases where there are, I can't imagine very many Republican lawmakers on the Hill asking their daughter, if she had been raped, to have the child of the rapist. I mean, it's one thing to make law. It's another thing in families. And I go back to when George H.W. Bush was asked that question. What would you do if, I forget if it was a kid or a grandkid was pregnant and she wanted to have an abortion? He said, I'd counsel against it, whatever. But in the end, it would be her choice. And the Republican Party was up in arms because he broke ranks. But he was speaking as a person, not as just a politician. So I think that there are some real serious problems with the Republican Party platform. Akin is... he is so special. He's a special man. He thinks he can still win after all this. And God bless his little heart, because he is helping the Democratic Party big time.
David Plotz, Todd Akin is staying in. Farai Chidea says it's a gift to the Democrats. Look, the abortion debate isn't new, but the election is approaching. How do you think this affects Republicans' positioning going forward?
Well, it makes it very difficult for Republicans in other races. We already saw that Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic Senate candidate in Massachusetts, has put up an ad attacking Scott Brown, who her Republican opponent, for his association with the Republican Party of Todd Akin. And Scott Brown was the very first person practically to Todd Akin, get out of the race. So the fact that even Elizabeth Warren is able to use this against an opponent who is in no way supportive of Todd Akin's position suggests how powerful this is. So I'm sure we're going to hear a lot from Democrats. It feeds into one of their favorite narratives of the race, the war on women narrative. And as Farai points out, the problem is not that Akin represents views that are opposed to that of the Republican Party. It's that he represents the views that the Republican Party endorses wholeheartedly, just without the bizarre words that Akin chose to use to express it.
David Plotz, how does Paul Ryan in particular, who is a member of Congress and along with several hundred other members of Congress, not just the two of them, let's be clear, but Paul Ryan, who did co-sponsor abortion legislation that, again, did not make exceptions for cases of rape or incest, is that something the public relates to, the arcana of legislating, or do you think that's something that Paul Ryan's going to have to find a way to strongly and clearly react to as the race goes forward?
I don't think that Ryan's going to have to deal with it too much. He's a personally appealing guy, and I think a lot of the details on the abortion issue get flummoxed people. They get confused. They're not really that comfortable talking about it. I don't think Ryan day to day is going to have to deal with it, or that Romney day to day is going to have to deal with it. I do think that the grand sort of sweeping arc of the campaign, women are going to sense a little queasiness about the Republican Party as a whole, and that's going to hurt Ryan and Romney at the polls. I don't think it's going to hurt them in the day-to-day tussle of campaigning.
That's the day-to-day tussle of the campaigning. Farai Chidea, as we end here, the Republican convention starts mm-hmm. on Monday. I'm heading down on Sunday, so we'll be down there.
We think it'll start on Monday, pending storm warnings.
pending storm warnings. They'll be nominating Mitt Romney early. What is at stake for Mitt Romney at this stage in the race, do you think? Conventions are infomercials. Everybody gets that, but there is a convention bump. What do you think is at stake for him in this stretch in the next few days?
Well, what's at stake for him is to be a human being. From what I understand from many different reports, Mitt Romney can be a generous and warm and giving person, but he is being painted as Scrooge McDuck, and there's been a new document released that shows the different ways that he has been able to use offshore accounts. So he's going to have to get away from that Scrooge McDuck and make himself the warm, giving, religious man, father, and paint himself as humane and human.
Meanwhile, Mitt Romney has an editorial in the Wall Street Journal this morning saying why his experience at Bain Capital prepares him for the presidency. You might want to check that out at wallstreetjournal.com. David Plotz, editor at Slate and co-host of the new GabFest radio podcast along with WNYC. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Also, Farai Chidea, a distinguished writer in residence at New York University's Journalism Institute. Happy birthday, Farai.
Thank you.